Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He covers the team for Cleveland.com. His name's Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
Good as always. A lot of fun time. Dan, are you in the spot that I'm in right now where we've been talking draft for what feels like 3 months, and you're sitting down looking at your watch, looking at the calendar, and wondering if Thursday at 8 o'clock is here yet?
Yeah, I'm ready for this thing to be over. I mean, it's been great. It's been fun to talk about all this stuff, but I just forgot how long this process is with not having first-round picks, and so you're kind of detached from everything the last few years, and now this year just diving right in a draft where they need a quarterback and all that. It's just been – it's felt very long, so I'm ready for Thursday to get here.
Yeah, it'll be nice for the conversation to turn into from, I guess, who are they going to pick to, oh, here's who they picked. What does it look like? That'll be a good change.
Yeah, exactly. It's always more fun to talk about these guys as Cleveland Browns as opposed to, well, will they be Cleveland Browns or not?
Yeah, a lot less options once we get through the draft, less than 200 and something. Let's go through. How locked in for you, Dan, does it feel like? Travis Hunter as the number two pick, which feels like it just has been gaining steam every single day.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'd be surprised if it's not Travis Hunter. And look, you never rule anything out with Andrew Berry in this front office. I mean, they could surprise everyone, but it's just all signs pointing to Travis Hunter after that pro day a few weeks ago. And that momentum is just built and built and built. And, you know, it's not surprising to me that Andrew and this front office would really be fascinated by the idea of adding a player like Hunter who can impact the game on both sides. Obviously, they view him as a guy that can come in and be an elite receiver right away. So, it's to the point where, you know, maybe a month ago I would have said I'd be surprised if it wasn't Shador, and now I think I've just completely flipped to where I'd be surprised if it wasn't Travis Hunter.
Is Andrew Berry's comments yesterday any indicator for you calling and comparing him to Shohei Ohtani? Is that an indicator of that's who you're drafting, or is that the way that you think that Andrew Berry would talk about Travis Hunter, whether or not he was taking Abdul Carter or somebody else with the number two pick as well?
You know, I honestly think he would maybe just talk about him that way regardless, because I just – Andrew is a guy that, again, I think would be really fascinated by this prospect, even if he wasn't a guy they were going to draft. So I'm not real surprised he made that comparison. He has loosened up a little bit in his pressers, even though yesterday was a little more muted on a lot of topics, but – he's loosened up a little, so it didn't, you know, take me aback when he said that to think, oh, that tells me they're drafting him for sure. I think he would have said that regardless.
Is it similar for you for Jalen Milroe? Obviously, he goes out, he makes the comment, could be the quarterback faster than Lamar Jackson, had good things to say about Milroe as well. Is that an indicator for you that when their second pick comes along, whether that's 33, they move up, that Jalen Milroe might be the name called, or is that just, again, an athletic guy that you speak highly of because he's a good prospect?
I did think it was interesting the way he talked about him, especially because he answered the question about Jackson Dart, and he kind of talked about both in one answer. And with Jackson, it was a lot more general. It was a lot more, well, he can throw it, he can run it, he can do all this stuff. And with Jalen, he went out of his way to point out that he has rare physical traits. And I just found that interesting. Andrew is a guy who, at least when it comes to position players or skill players, I should say, he likes those traits. He likes to take guys, especially later in the draft, who he thinks have elite traits. So I just wonder how that translates to the quarterback position and Jalen Milroe. But certainly listening to that answer, it kind of drove home the fact that, again, I just would not be surprised if at some point it's Jalen Milroe. And I don't know that they would trade up to get him. Maybe it's a situation where maybe he falls farther than people think he's going to fall. Maybe that's where you pounce on him. But again, he's on that list of guys that if we hear his name over the weekend to the Cleveland Browns, I wouldn't be shocked.
One of the other things that stood out to me, and on the topic of trading up for Milroe or any quarterback within that first round, is Andrew Berry throughout his press conference essentially laid out the fact that he doesn't value the fifth-year extension the way that many people think GMs value the fifth-year extension. Is that something that we're buying the smoke on, or is that something that you think might be a little bit of a deterrent from other GMs on thinking he's going to trade up or the value on it?
You know, I believe him just because I sort of agree with him. I think the fifth-year extension, yes, it's valuable. But I think most of the time, if you draft a guy, especially a quarterback, if you draft a quarterback and you love the guy, you're going to extend him before that fifth-year extension even comes into play. So that extra year of control is usually a figure-it-out year, right? We saw it with Jedrick Wills. We're seeing it with Greg Newsome as that cornerback position develops. It gives you that extra year of control, obviously. Now, it can be expensive depending on the position, but I do think the fifth-year option, while there's value to it, I'm kind of with Andrew on this. I think we talk about it a little too much because, again, if you really love a guy, you're not going to need it anyway. You're just going to extend him after 3 or 4 years.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us on the New Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We go through and we talk about it feels like it's going to be Travis Hunter. It could be very likely that Jalen Milroe would be that pick for the second one off the board or at some point for the Browns. Have they sort of gone from what was talked about earlier on as the biggest question mark in the draft to now almost being in a spot where you consider them predictable?
Yes, but I'm always nervous to say that. Again, just because you never know with this front office if they're sitting on something, if there's something they aren't telling us. But I will say Andrew Berry has been a little predictable in past drafts. You look back at the Jed Wills draft, all through that offseason, they kind of left left tackle wide open. And everybody knew that was a strong left tackle class. And then lo and behold, sitting at number 10, they end up taking Jedrick Wills. I think the year after that, they were tied to Greg Newsome. He was one of the guys that you would see people predicting could end up in Cleveland. He was sitting there at, I think they were at 26 that year. So for as secretive as Andrew can be, and obviously they don't love to put a bunch of stuff out there and it can feel like, well, they could do anything shocking at any moment. They actually have been pretty predictable when it's come to their early draft picks. So if this plays out the way kind of everybody is thinking it's going to play out next week, I've said this like 5 times, it wouldn't surprise me because Andrew, sometimes you can just look at the evidence, not what he says, not what you're hearing people say, but you look at the roster, you look at how it's put together, and you can kind of say, yeah, it just makes sense to take this guy here, and then that's what they do.
Dan, the next question is going to sound almost, I think, in a way stupid, but I think you'll see where I'm going. Is there almost a fear at any point that operating a draft rounds, I guess, 1 through 6 right now for the Browns, but potentially 1 through 7, almost functions in a different way and there'd be a little bit of rust having not had the first round pick for that long, not even had a second round pick in some of those years? Is there a rust to work off working the draft early on across Thursday and early on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought. I don't think it is, though, just because I think when you look at just that they pick number 2, I think that just really simplifies things. You're kind of outside of assuming Tennessee's going to take Cam Ward, you kind of get your pick of whoever you want there at number 2. So I think that sort of simplifies having to play that game and figure out where guys are going to go, who might move up, who might move back. Now, it gets interesting if you are sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to take Hunter at 2, and then we're going to try and move back up. And like if Shador starts to fall, maybe we'll make a move for him, or maybe we'll try and get ahead of Pittsburgh for a quarterback, whatever it is. You know, playing that game is something they haven't had to do. So that'll be fascinating if they do, in fact, try to play that game. But I think sitting there at number 2, it just kind of simplifies everything. Now, the really interesting thing is going to be...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
33, because that's that weird pick where, you know, the draft ends 11:30 midnight on Thursday night, and then you've got all the way till 7 o'clock, and that phone's going to be ringing. And I'm really fascinated to see what Andrew does there. If he moves back, if he just sits there and makes a pick, I think we're going to find out if he really loves the guy that's still on the board there.
Yeah, I think that's a part of what I was thinking as well, is that 33 obviously presents there's so many questions of what could happen, to the point where, yes, your potential for getting the best player is obviously maximized at the number two pick on day one. But should Browns fans almost be more intrigued than excited about day two, given the fact of where we are, and it almost feels like you know the pick on day one as well?
Yeah, I think so, just because of, you know, 33. And we know that Andrew and this front office, they love to try and maximize that value. So if there's like five or six guys that they just really like sort of on an equal level, there's a chance you move back, right? And maybe, let's say there's four receivers you really like that you think you can get before pick 45. Well, then you might move back and try and add more picks either next year or even in this draft where we already have 10 of them. So that's the one thing that makes this interesting for the Browns. They could just sit there in 33 and take a guy if they really love a guy there. But if they think there's a bunch of guys they could get, and in the 12, 15 picks to start that day off, then they might move back. And so that's what makes it interesting. Andrew Berry is always going to try and maximize every single pick that he has.
Dan, obviously with the addition of Joe Flacco, we've talked a lot about, is it going to be a quarterback competition, everything that goes into it. One of the almost analyzed aspects of the entire situation is that if you go through and you start a guy like Kenny Pickett or a rookie quarterback over somebody like Joe Flacco, are you almost putting them in a bad spot, given the fact the way that we know the fan base is about Joe and the love that they have for him? And I'm sure they wouldn't be quiet if it comes to the fact of that guy struggles. They want the guy that was here in 2023 and helped lead him to a playoff spot.
I don't think it's as big an issue with a rookie, but I do think it's a good point with Kenny Pickett, because I don't think a lot of Browns fans are looking at Kenny Pickett and they're in love with that deal to bring him in. And yeah, if Kenny Pickett goes out there week one, if that game's at home and he struggles, those Flacco calls are going to start. And I don't know if the Browns will care about that. I don't know if Kevin Stefanski will even consider that in his decision. But I do think having Flacco backing up Kenny Pickett adds a layer of pressure, because as soon as Kenny Pickett, he's not going to have a leash with the fan base. He's not going to get any grace for any mistakes from the fan base. They're going to want to see Joe Flacco if Kenny Pickett is the starter. So I think that's an interesting wrinkle as we go through this, because every sign is pointing to this being a real competition between at least those two, and then probably a rookie as well, depending on if they believe that guy is ready to play early or not. There is a chance Kenny Pickett could go out there and win that job, and that makes things very interesting if he struggles early.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, again with us on the hotline. Is it almost a similar situation, you think, for a young running back if you were to bring back Nick Chubb? Even in a, I think, running back by committee, obviously, more likely, and you see that more often, but even if that running back's almost out-carrying Nick Chubb, that you get something similar there?
Maybe, but I think the fact that fans got to see Nick Chubb last year and he didn't really look like Nick Chubb, and he was starting to get there maybe a little bit before he broke the foot, but he never really looked like Nick Chubb. I think that at least gave people a little bit of the reality check that he wasn't ready last year. Maybe that year after the year he's going to be a little better. Sometimes with those knee injuries you see that with guys. But I do think that because of what we saw last year from him, I would hope that most fans would understand that if Nick comes back, it's got to be in a lesser role. And he's probably not going to be the starter unless they just draft a running back who's, you know, I don't know, maybe a sixth-round guy who's not going to carry the ball 15 times a game. But he would definitely be splitting time with Jerome Ford, whatever rookie they bring in. And again, I hope that people who saw Nick Chubb run last year would understand that you don't want to give him the ball 15, 20 times a game right now.
If you're reading the tea leaves, do you think it's more likely that Nick Chubb comes back or plays somewhere else at this point?
It just seems as long as he's been out there, you have to wonder how many options he's got. Because you would think if somebody wanted to sign him, they would sign him. Now, I guess we have to get through the draft because maybe there's some teams out there that are just kind of waiting to see how the running backs fall. Maybe that's what the Browns are doing too. Maybe they want to see kind of how this draft falls, if they're able to land a running back they really like. But I think the longer he's out there, the more likely it actually becomes that he could come back, because you start to ask, okay, so why hasn't anybody else made that offer, or why hasn't he accepted some offer yet to this point? So the longer this goes, I think the more likely it seems that he'd be back.
Dan, an interesting wrinkle on our station today. One of our other hosts brought up the idea of bringing back Amari Cooper, given the fact and the success that he had with Joe Flacco. Something you'd be interested in, or are you out on that?
I wouldn't do it. And look, I really liked Amari when he was here. I liked covering him. I liked interviewing him, talking to him. He was great with us. Obviously, fans loved him. He had two really great years here. But, you know, he just... We saw what happened last year. How much of that was just the missed connection with Deshaun Watson, or whatever you want to call it? I don't know. But then he goes to Buffalo, and he was okay, but he didn't really make an impact there for the most part. So I just don't think you necessarily need to go down that route. I think you have Jerry Jeudy. You like him there. I think you have to add, or you should add, probably two receivers in this draft, hopefully one on day two, and then maybe another one on day three. I don't know what Cedric Tillman is. There were flashes last year. I think you have to use this season to find out. And I think that's the case with a lot of positions this year. You're going to try and find out about a lot of young guys, and I think Cedric Tillman is on that list. So I don't know if bringing back Amari Cooper really accomplishes that much.
If the Browns decided it was something they wanted to do, how did the tenure between the two end? Because there was obviously sort of the – I don't want to call it bad blood, but they clearly weren't on the same page last offseason. And then I don't know that the fans were exactly happy with them, and I don't know how the organization felt. Is it something where it would be seamless to come back, or is there probably still a little something unresolved there?
I never got a sense that there was bad blood. Obviously, he had the contract holdout, but the Browns did take care of him, and they did make sure that he got what he wanted so that he could come back and play. Obviously, it didn't work out on the field. They ultimately decided to turn him into an asset, which actually turned out to be a smart move. That's why they have the number 94 overall pick. So at least that worked out. But I never got the sense that there was any bad blood that would prevent Amari from wanting to come back to Cleveland. I think he enjoyed his time here. And obviously, the way he played, you know, if Joe Flacco's here, I've got to imagine Amari Cooper would look at that and say, sure, I'd run it back with him. But it's just a matter of kind of what you want your roster to look like, what opportunities you want some of your young receivers to have, and sort of how he fits into that. And just right now, I'm not sure if I see that.
All right, Dan, I'll get you out of here on this one. If you're looking at the Browns' needs positionally right now, is there a single position that stands out, is one more likely than another to get sort of left out in the draft process with the Browns holding a total of 9 picks?
It's really tough. I think on paper they can address every position, but we know those day 3 picks are going to be harder, right? You can't draft a 6th-round guy and expect he's going to come in and be your left tackle of the future or something like that. I guess it wouldn't surprise me if for some reason, as much as I think this is a need and I think they should address it high, it wouldn't surprise me if they prioritized other positions early in the draft and maybe we didn't see an edge rusher drafted on day 1 or 2. you know, you need a receiver, you need a tight end, and I think you got to take a tight end in the second or third round. You're taking Travis Hunter, that's obviously a receiver, but I'd love to see him add another one day one, you know, day two as well. So I guess, even though I don't know that it'll happen, it seems like they're doing this edge rush by committee on the other side across from Myles Garrett. And if we're taking Abdul Carter off the board, it starts to make me wonder, are they going to take an edge rusher on the first 2 days of this draft? Or are they going to roll the dice on a guy on day three, like they did with Isaiah McGuire, for example, and see if they can just kind of throw him into that committee and make something work?
Dan, I appreciate it, as always, setting aside the time and coming to talk to us here. I hope that we're talking sometime soon after the draft, and hopefully with both of us feeling like it went well.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no doubt. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.